Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of February 25th, 2013. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Oh, the single ladies.
Okay. So, yeah. I think we got a pretty great show as usual. Also, jam-packed, so you should probably get right into it.
And
kick things off with there's a little thing this past weekend called the Oscars that happened. A small event.
I think it's new.
Yeah.
Established. Here.
Yeah. So I guess first things, I talk about the show. What we thought about the show, quick. I know Joe, you were retweeting a bunch, like, and tweeting about it for a while.
Yeah,
on Twitter, on Twitter feed.
I was kind of belligerent, and I was stone sober, too. I was just very upset at how up their own asses a lot of those actors were. Because, like, Seth MacFarlane, I'll admit, is not great, but, like, some of the shit they were doing was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that Sound of Music gag.
Yes, that was the best.
Like, that was fucking hysterical. I don't care who you are. And then the flight with sock puppets, equally hysterical.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was great. And some of the jokes, like, weren't funny, but they were kind of, like, Family Guy cutaway funny, where you're like, haha, okay. You know? Like, it's entertaining, but you're not going to, like, roll on the floor laughing. And people were just like, my God. And even, like, the rap and stuff, which is this, like, pseudo-Hollywood thing on Twitter, was like, oh, is he taking it too far? And I just had to, oh, my God.
Talking
like,
about
no,
boots.
Shut up. Like, stop it. Like, did you know that one in two people has boobs? Like, it's not a fucking, like, secret, man. We're all adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sound of Music joke was fantastic. A bunch of others. And then there's the weird, it was, like, weirdly, the weird, like, emphasis on musicals this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of it was awesome, like, the Bond tribute was pretty awesome.
That was
with
cool.
Shirley Bassey coming out and saying Goldfinger.
Goldfinger!
Hey, weren't we promised, like, all the bombs are gonna, like,
yeah.
show up at one point?
Yeah, and then, like earlier in the week, they were like, JK. No. Yeah.
Like, I understand Daniel Craig's kind of like, I've got something to do, but, like, I bet you Roger Moore is just, like, sitting at home.
Yeah.
He's like, I should have went to that.
Man, Patton Oswalt had the greatest tweet during the Bond tribute. He's like, yeah, this is an excellent montage dedicated to, like, martinis, gadgets, and, like crafty rape. I'm not doing it justice, but it was really goddamn hilarious, man.
Mm-hmm.
That one got me good. And he's right.
Mm-hmm. And then they did, like, it was, like, Adele sang Skyfall, and then, like, the cast of Les Mis did their song, and then there was, like, a weird, like, Chicago song or something.
Oh, I tapped out when Wolverine was singing.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe. I was like, okay. What? Yeah.
Well, Conan had an awesome, like, joke the next day of, like, Russell Crowe just, like, through the entire show of, like, he's, like, the playoff music. It's like, stop talking, Anne Hathaway! Get off the stage!
Yeah. For the record, I don't think those were Anne Hathaway's nipples, because...
No, it was just how the dress was designed or something. It was
yeah.
a horrible dress.
And, I kind of hope that becomes a trend, where, like, nipple wear is, like, that's
like
just
fake,
what girls...
Fake
faux
nipples.
Yeah,
just faux nipples you wear on top
of
your...
I got my faux nips on.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, we should probably, like, incorporate that, like, copyright that shit.
Faux nips.
Yeah.
I mean, how expensive could they possibly be to manufacture?
It's the pleats. It's an
ethical. If you'd like to get into the faux nip business with Everything Action, please send money orders to...
Mm-hmm. Kickstarter.
If you want to be a faux nip model...
Yeah, you'll never work in the phone-it business ever again.
Wait,
I'm kidding, you will.
Wait, what about Ted and Mark Wahlberg presenting?
A highlight of the night. I said it.
They were
because he's an adorable bear.
And the special effects were actually pretty, like, they did, like, they were, like, cheaping out on the special effects.
Yeah, and it was filmed, I read how they did it. It was filmed, like, at CBS or whatever, like, days before.
Yeah.
And they had all these, like, different outcomes because nobody knew, allegedly. So, like, they just had to, like, align the camera angles, like, perfectly and everything for what they rehearsed.
The only thing that's kind of weird is, like, I can see, like, Ted's there just, like, making jokes up, but then, like, they actually had Ted, like, reading, like, seriously, like, the nominees. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Peter Griffin presents bear. Best sound editing. Yeah.
My friend Kelly texted me during the Academy Awards, and she was like, man, it's so odd, like, hearing Brian Griffin speak out all this, like, serious stuff, but, like, having to see Seth MacFarlane.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, that is a little upsetting, especially if you just close your eyes.
I thought it was good that they didn't have any, like, there was no Family Guy, like, Stewie, and anyone didn't come out with a bit or anything.
I wouldn't have minded too much.
I don't know, was there anything else about, like, show-wise these get talked about?
Quentin Tarantino deserved to win for Django, and I'm glad he did.
Mm-hmm.
Screenwriting. Christoph Waltz, obviously, I think, is fine by us because he kicked ass in that.
Yeah.
I didn't actually see Lincoln, so I can't speak for Tommy Lee Jones, though I hear he was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see Django, and I do know that nobody brings it like Christoph brings it, so I was very happy for him to get that award again.
Mm-hmm.
For another Tarantino film, so good shit there.
So yeah, so let's get into some of the other awards.
Yeah.
So yeah, so Best Supporting Actor, first off, Christoph Waltz. Awesome. Best Animated Short Film, Paper Man, which you would have seen.
Ooh.
You would have seen before Wreck-It Ralph.
Maggie.
Yeah, Maggie was pretty awesome in that. It was like,
I just knew The Simpsons one and the Paper Man, but like, mm-hmm. Were there other ones?
Yeah, like, weird,
yeah,
like,
there were like two more, yeah. But they were like French and no one cared.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, we got like the best top American ones is a Simpsons short, which was odd. Like, when have they ever like submitted like a clip like that?
Because they were in front of Ice Age.
Yeah, it was a weird experiment because they wanted to see if, or at the time they were toying with the idea of like using the Simpsons universe for like shorts, kind of like Disney's doing with Toy Story.
Yeah.
Like, before some of their movies, just keep interest alive.
And Warner Bros. Is, like, doing those weird, like, CG Looney Tunes.
Yeah, I haven't seen those yet, but
a couple of, like,
didn't see that
a couple
either.
Of them were on YouTube, I thought. Like,
yeah, the Wiley Coyote they were.
They did like, a remake of, like, the first Tweety and Sylvester one.
Yeah, no, I just meant, like, before an actual, like, movie.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't see them putting that before, like, the fucking,
no
like,
one,
Dark Knight Rises.
Because no one, what WB, like, anime movie comes out? Like, Happy Feet is one, I guess?
Oh, Space Jam?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Space Jam 2.
And then, speaking of animated movies, Brave, Best Animated Feature Film, Boo.
Boo.
Fucking Wreck-It Ralph should have won that.
Dude, Paranorman.
I think Paranorman got screwed because it was, like, it split the vote between Paranorman and Frankenweenie.
Well, they basically decided that they weren't going to do either of those. They're like, that's basically the same movie, and we don't care for it. So they were both just out of the running.
Yeah, and then it was Wreck-It Ralph, and then what was the weird, like, fourth?
Oh
Pirates.
Who
Pirates, Band of Misfits.
Yeah, really? Really?
Yeah.
A vegetable really? Movie?
why didn't they have, like, the fucking Oogie Loves, for that matter? You kidding me?
Because Oogie Loves was, like, horrific 3D live action.
Hey, man, it was animated enough for me. It was real to me. My space trip. The first time I saw that poster with Chris, I thought I was hallucinating.
I did like how...
What is that strange actor on that poster?
We did have
the, like, push button.
Yeah,
that,
we had
like,
that in my theater, too. It's like, push button. It's like, science,
there,
riffing!
There's this, like, family of Mexicans in front of it, yeah. And, like, their kids just kept, like, pressing the fucking button.
Yeah.
And they were pressing it like they're going to win a prize.
Yeah, and the really weird thing is that they were both, like, 3 or 4, like, really young, and they were waiting in line with us to see Expendables 2. I was like, all right, well,
ready,
that's
kids.
That's dirty Jersey for you.
Best cinematography, Life of Pi. I think everyone thought Skyfall got robbed in that one.
It did. You know why? Because Skyfall was a real movie.
Yeah.
They actually shot things in the real world.
Also, best visual effects, Life of Pi, which is insane. They made a fucking tiger. Bravo.
Yeah. Yep.
Prometheus.
I saw Life of Pi. Like, it was called Castaway.
Yeah. Prometheus made an entire fucking planet.
Dude, let me tell you something about Life of Pi, okay? First of all, let me just go out on a limb here and tell everyone I have not seen it.
Yep.
Life of Pi, if that were a real movie, okay, it would, for it to be, like, really accurate in what would happen in real life, the movie would be about 2.5 minutes long, and it would be called Indian Gets Eaten Alive by Tiger on a Boat.
Yes.
Okay? I'm sorry, the Avengers to me, Prometheus to me, is more believable than this fucking kid on a boat with a goddamn tiger, and now it's raining fish.
And whales jumping over there.
I'm going to assert my, like, Indian manhood over this tiger and tell him that it's my fish and that he can't eat. Like, fuck yourself. Like, I can't get on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very aware that I'm watching a movie.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be like a kid's storybook sort of movie.
What kid do you know that went to see Life of Pi?
No.
What kid did you see going into Life of Pi?
I saw a lot of
kids want to see Oogie Love, son.
It's all about the Oogies.
You mean
it's all about the Oogies, baby?
You mean the movie that had the worst opening ever in history?
Are we talking about the Oogie Loves here? Because yeah. I did not see, admittedly.
Yeah, Oogie Loves had the worst wide opening for a movie in history. Like it's worse than Delgo now.
Wow.
And worse than, like, anything else you could possibly imagine.
Alpha Omega.
Yeah.
Guys, I hate to put you two on the spot here, but I kind of feel a drunk commentary coming on for the Oogie Loves movie.
That was Oogie Loves, not free on, like,
yeah.
YouTube then.
Yeah.
Maybe it is. I don't think anyone's even searched for it.
Just go read, like, the AV Club's My Year of Flops about it, because it's, like, the best description of it.
I'm excited.
Nathan Rabe and his wife go in, they're the only people in the theater. It's just like, the movie just is constantly just yelling at you, like, kids, start yelling and running!
Ah!
Kids, there's a fire in the back, tell no one!
Yeah. Man, that movie must have been a nightmare for parents, because it's like, oh good, I could finally get them to shut the fuck up for like an hour and a half, and then it's just like, big-headed characters, like, screaming at their kids to do shit.
Well, fortunately no one went to see it, Joe, so don't have to suffer.
Yeah, that's a good point you raise, that.
Yes.
It's a very fair point.
Anyway, back to actual movies, not Oogie
Yes.
Loves. Best sound editing, a weird tie. Skyfall and Zero Dark Thirty both won for best sound editing. And it's actually,
that was upsetting.
And that was Zero Dark Thirty's only Oscar.
Yeah, because fuck Zero Dark Thirty. You kidding me?
Best supporting actress, Anne Hathaway for Les Mis.
And her nipples.
Yes. let's see here. Best original song, Skyfall, obviously. That was going to win. Because Skyfall's awesome.
I can't even name an original song.
What other movie had an original song?
There's the song from Ted that Norah Jones performed live. At the,
really? Right the, that was going to win?
Or, they made a song for Les Mis because they already had like all the songs, so they added one so they could be nominated in that category. And then...
Fuck Les Mis.
Oh,
and can I say something else while we're on the subject of fuck Les Mis?
Yeah.
Okay, costume design. I tweeted about this and it upset some people. But if you are making costumes for a movie about a time period that has already happened and was like real, people really lived through it,
mm-hmm. You
don't deserve the fucking award. You know why? Because you didn't create anything.
Just,
that's like tracing someone's art. Dude, okay, if there was an award for you're a good tailor, like the Taylor Award, yes, you might win it because you made good costumes. But the fact of the matter is, you didn't sit there and think, okay, in the future, they're harvesting whatever, they're terraforming, on alien planets, what would their suit look like? That's designing.
Yeah.
This is adapting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think three of the movies in the fucking category all looked the same. I'm yeah, like, how do you like, even yeah, differentiate
like
between
Lincoln,
them?
Les Mis, and then some other,
yeah.
like,
oh my god. Movie. Like, come on. That was just like...
That awards has, like, always been, like, the... Which period drama came out this year?
Exactly. Exactly. But it's just so gross to me, like, in general. Like, the movies that get thrown in there. Like, I would rather see Oogie Loves in there, because at least someone had to design that.
At least someone had to sit there and be like, what would this fucking creature wear?
Yes. That's all I'm trying to argue. That's all I'm arguing.
Like,
I'm not saying
like,
that there's not talent with what they had to do.
Put the fucking
but
Avengers
it's not design.
In there.
Yeah, oh my god, seriously. Stan Winston made Iron Man's suit, may his soul rest in peace. Someone had to come up with what Hulk looked like.
Yeah.
Someone had to design
Thor's
those ripped
suit,
pants. Scarlett Johansson's perfectly placed cleavage.
Yes.
Everything. Come on, Nick Fury's eye patch. Mm-hmm. Which I think would be hilarious if it mysteriously switched from eye to eye as each movie passed by. As a running gag. Gah. Damn Academy.
So,
we'll never be invited.
No. We have our Kick-Ass Award, that's fine.
Yeah, really.
Where stuff actually matters.
Yeah, our awards have the word ass in it. What do you have, Academy?
Mm-hmm. Best Original Screenplay, Django, which was pretty awesome.
Ow.
Tarantino was like... Obviously, like, drunk or coked up or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, his, like, tie was, like, half off, and then he was just, like, yelling things.
It was like that at the beginning of the night.
Yeah.
Like, they showed him, like, coming in, and he already looked like he had been, like, at a Las Vegas, like, slot table. Like, or, like, at a Las Vegas, like, craps table,
it was,
like, all night.
It was, like, 5 minutes before the Oscars, like, QT, you gotta get the Oscars. What?
give him a hit of meth to wake him up. Yeah. Oh, man. We'll write a sequel to Pulp Fiction now.
We were in that suit last night. Doesn't matter. We have to go.
And props to Samuel L. Jackson for actually wearing, like, the Candyland attire.
Yes.
Like,
oh, my
crushed
God,
velvet
yes.
suit. And I have to say it. Is there anyone cooler than Jack Nicholson?
Probably not.
I don't think so. Every time they showed that guy, just fucking sunglasses at night, indoors... Doesn't know who he's clapping for or why, but he's just there having a fucking great time. Mm-hmm. Probably drunk. Awesome.
In his, like, special reserve seat right in the middle of the theater. Front row.
Right, dead center.
Yep.
Front row. Last time he made a movie was, like, about Schmidt. Like, anger management.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Doesn't matter. He's a legend. That's a guy who I want to party with
yep.
before I die.
Best director, Ang Lee for Life of Pi.
Whatever.
You still ruined Hulk, Ang Lee.
Yeah, seriously, man. Come on.
I did like he took the funding where we got from that movie to go make a cowboy movie.
Most of the movie takes place in a boat. What are you directing exactly?
The water tank and the fake tiger.
That movie could have been a one shot.
Mm-hmm.
On a fucking tripod.
It's so magical, though, Joe. It's a magical adventure.
I have bills to pay. I don't believe in magic. Fucking Hollywood dough goat.
So, best actress, Jennifer Lawrence, for Silver Linings Playbook. Almost died going up on stage.
Yeah, oh man.
And then Hugh Jackman to the rescue.
Thank God he didn't, like, shank her by accident.
And I think, like, after, like, it was, like, after they, she's doing, like, an interview or something, and everyone was just, like, asking her, like, no, one thing that people were asking her was, like, so what happened when you fell? She just, like, flipped everyone off and, like, left.
Yeah.
Best actor, Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln.
Obviously.
Yeah. That should be, just, like, it's just, like, Daniel Day-Lewis Award.
Yeah, anytime he's nominated at this point, it's just kind of like, and the Daniel Day-Lewis Award for Daniel Day-Lewising in a Daniel Day-Lewis film.
Yeah. And then Best Picture, Argo.
I mean, I guess. Have an award, then.
I'll watch it this weekend and see what's going on.
Yeah, hopefully me too. I'd very much like to see that. But I'm just mad at Ben Affleck right now. That's all.
He's a good director. I mean,
he is a good director,
Cloud,
but he fucking...
God
I will...
God.
yes, I would prefer to remember Ben Affleck as the guy in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's hunting season. Like, cool Ben Affleck, not like artist Ben Affleck. I don't know.
Serious beard Ben Affleck.
Yeah, man. Like, come on. Like, I understand that you're, like, really proud of what you did and everything, but, like, don't try to be, like, fucking Sean Penn. You know what he did with Chris Rock, like, a few years ago at the Academy Awards? Where he's like, who's Jude Law? He's in everything. I have no idea who this guy is. And then Sean Penn, like, when he was presenting, he's like, just so you know, Jude Law is one of the most talented and gifted actors of our time. It's like, oh, my God. Go home. You were fucking Spicoli. Like, give me a break. Did you really forget where you came from?
Mm-hmm. Oh man, so any final Oscar thoughts?
Yeah, I'm glad they're over.
Yeah. They went on for like 4 hours.
Can't wait for next year's line of horseshit.
Oh, one thing. Honorary awards they gave out, like the honorary Oscars. It's pretty awesome. Hale Needham, stunt legend, got an honorary Oscar.
Director, I'll be happy when Kane Hodder gets one.
Well, Hale Needham,
Jason.
Hale Needham, like director of Smoking the Bandit and Mega Force and a bunch of other awesome movies.
Yeah, so, that's cool. I'll admit, yeah. That's cool.
So, moving on to other news. Joe, you can probably sit this one out because you don't watch Game of Thrones. But
bye, guys.
Chris, what do you think? Did you watch Game of Thrones season 3 trailer?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I can't wait.
Yes, it looks awesome.
It looks freaking awesome. I kind of want to read the books a little bit, but I know the books will spoil a few things for me.
Yeah, I think it's definitely more in line than like Walking Dead, where it's like if you read the comics, it's still like they're going like totally 180 away from the comics, kind of, but like sort of the same general plot.
The outline.
Yeah, the outline's same. So, like, I think Game of Thrones, the show is like this happened in the book, this happened in the show.
They actually, like, said, like, if the author ever dies, like, they already have, like, another guy lined up just in case.
Yeah, to finish the book.
Show, like, yeah, I think, he doesn't finish
the book. I think he's in pretty good shape. Like, how many was he going to write? Like, what are they on, like, 6 or 7 right now?
Seven? He wants to do one more, but then they might do a spinoff of, like, another character, like, another thing.
Isn't he running out of, like, adjectives to describe them, too? It's like Game of Thrones, Court of Kings.
A girl with a tattoo.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because, yeah, like, let's go back. Like, same thing with Girl to Dragon Tattoo. Like, he didn't get to finish the series before they start making the movies.
I think he died, like, right after they made the third book or something.
Yeah, so it was never meant to be. I think it was never meant to be just a trilogy, so. Mm-hmm. That's why they're like, now they're like, oh, when we buy author stuff, we kind of want, like, an insurance, like, backup. For if it gets too popular and people like are demanding shit, can you imagine if like J.K. Rowling just like just disappeared halfway through like the second Harry Potter book?
Yeah.
People would fucking
and it's like,
riot.
J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter written by blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah,
you know it will.
Harry the kids. It's gonna be like Harry Potter Juniors.
Harry Junior.
Yeah.
Young so. Harry Potter.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because I'm just bombarded by like a lot of action shows coming out. So I just know Game of Thrones, whenever I watch it, it's short, it's concise. Like, every episode is great.
Mm-hmm.
So the trailer, like, I kind of didn't want to analyze the trailer too much, only because
it's
like I'm
like,
I don't want to.
So it's just like,
I know, but like I don't want to fucking like start thinking like, oh, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? Like, I just kind of like wanted to experience it.
Dragons are going to happen, Chris. Dragons.
Finally. Fucking dragons. People from the north.
Oh, yes. Zombies.
by the way, zombies.
Mm-hmm. Zombies and dragons. And that kid is still a douchebag.
Yep.
And Peter Dinklage is still awesome.
I like he's going to wear that badass scar, though.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so that's coming up in a little over a month, so definitely we're going to check that out as soon as it comes out. Moving on to other news, we got an update possibly about the long-in-production reboot of The Crow that at one point was going to star Bradley Cooper, but now it appears it's going to possibly star James McAvoy as The Crow.
Yeah.
AKA Young Professor X.
Charles.
Groovy, baby. Mutation's groovy.
If they ever did a Austin Powers remake, which I hope they never do,
Young Austin Powers.
Why would you even put that out into the universe?
I'm just saying, now.
Son of Austin Powers.
Son of Powers. Yes. They could do James Bond Jr. They could do Austin Powers.
Well, I'll tell you this. This whole production of the Crow reboot is a little bit troubled. It's my gut feeling that when they first wanted to go with Bradley Cooper, they wanted someone who could portray, like, you know, sensitivity and whatnot, because, like, The Crow, at its core, is a love story.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably wanted someone who, like, females could identify with, too, as being like, oh my god, he's a victim, like, he's so hurt, look at his eyes, like, blah, blah, blah. But could still pull off the whole, like, aspiring rock star thing,
mm-hmm.
which I could definitely see Bradley Cooper is doing. So then that kind of fell through, and we all saw the concept art from that, and I'm pretty sure we're all glad that it did fall through. But then they had Mark Wahlberg in the lead role. I'm not making this shit up. This is actually
Nick Cage almost Superman.
Well, here's the thing. It was basically going to be Max Payne with, like, mystical crow powers.
Well, like, it could be awesome. It could have been. Max Payne, like, the Day of the Dead.
Could have been, but the problem is, like, when you put Mark Wahlberg in it, now you're really shifting the whole approach from, like, okay, this is going to be a tragic love story that has elements of revenge in it, to, okay, this is a action-packed revenge thriller mm-hmm. that has elements of a, you know, tragic love story in it. And now they're going with, or it looks like they're going with James McAvoy, which, he's a badass dude. No problems there. You know, nothing against him. He's a great young Charles and all that stuff.
Wanted.
But he also doesn't scream, like, revenge thriller to me. So I think it's going to be like, hey, get off my girlfriend! And then they kill him.
And then they gently shove him aside. Yeah. And he falls. Yeah. He bumps his head.
Yeah, like I could believe them killing him. I don't necessarily believe him coming back and, like, exacting horrible vengeance on people.
With, like, knives, you know? And stuff.
Yeah, in, like, really elaborate ways, like fucking burning crows into walls out of gasoline and shit. I don't know.
There's so many other crow stories that they could do.
Yeah.
Why are they going back to just this? Why are they always going back to Eric Draven? I don't know. It's like the third time they're doing it.
It's true. Eric Draven wasn't the only spirit that the crow brought back from the land of the dead. And, you know, more importantly than that, you don't need to keep rebooting. But in this case, I actually kind of get it, because the last, like,
three?
I mean, really all the sequels have been goddamn terrible. I don't think I need to, like, you know.
And, like, the crow that everyone remembers, like, is super, super, like, 90s movie.
Yeah, but, I mean, it fits.
And it's an amazing movie, but, like, it's definitely, yeah. like, of the 90s, like, early 90s,
oh, sure.
like, grunge.
Sure.
The entire soundtrack is just, like, grunge music and, like...
Hey, that movie had an awesome goddamn soundtrack. Yeah, Rage Against the Machine mm-hmm. before they were cool. Pantera before they were, like, really cool.
Yep.
Helmet. A few other cool bands, too. Nine Inch Nails. But anyway...
First, that guy who made Dark City and stuff.
Yeah, man. Oh, it's an awesome movie. And, like, for me, personally, if we were in a parallel universe... I mean, obviously, I wish Brandon Lee were still alive, of course.
If he just ducked.
Yeah, if he just fucking sidestepped. But, you know, and in some weird parallel universe, we could have had a sequel or two with Brandon Lee as Eric Draven, and they could have arguably been a lot better. But then again, in retrospect, I'm totally fine with just viewing that first movie as a standalone sort of movie. Because the end of the movie, I mean, it's not like, oh, and they lived happily ever after. It's like, well, they're both still dead, but at least he kind of, like, set things right.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's okay to not franchise everything.
I'm like, you know, the other stories of the Crow thing, they explored a shitload more lore in it, and it was great, because, you know, like, in this crow, like, it's also depending on the type of crow that gets you. It wasn't just, like, the one crow.
So.
Yeah, there's like sad, needy bitch crows, and there's like fucking Arnold and Commando crows that are like, okay, here's a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook, and here's an online certificate to Smith & Wesson. Now go nuts. Get your revenge.
Another thing was, like, when the crow gets you, you don't become, like, a martial arts expert. That's just something that you just don't die again. Like, that's
That was only Mark Dacascos, who was, like, a martial arts expert in Crow Stairway to Heaven, which I watched religiously. because the crow was, like, the coolest thing in the world to me when I was, like, 10 and that show came out. Yeah, no, Chris, you're absolutely right. Like, it basically just, your power was that you couldn't die. That was basically it. And, like, pulling the morphine out of Horror's veins. That was a strange, useless power. Mm-hmm. More of a party trick, really. But, yeah.
That's why I was kind of confused about City of Angels when the biker guy dies. I'm like, when did you learn how to shoot guns and kick and do other things?
Yeah, there are a lot of ill-thought-out things in that movie. The only thing I liked about City of Angels was how fucking, like, infuriated you get when they kill him and his son.
Yes.
Like, it's definitely more disturbing than it ever gets credit for. It's very unsettling, and it's, like, one of those scenes, like, did you guys see the remake of The Hills Have Eyes?
Nope.
Okay, well, Chris, you know the scene where they, like, spoiler alert, where, like, the hill folks, like, first come into their trailer and, like, rape the, like, teenage daughter.
And they're, like, suck on the pregnant mom's boob.
Yeah, and they, like, fuck everything up. Like, that was really hard to watch. Like, as a person with a conscience, like, that was fucking really
disturbing. It's uncomfortable.
Exactly. Yeah, to say the least. But it gets you on the fucking, like, hero side for the rest of the movie. So I feel like they did a really good job of that in City of Angels, in the first Crow sequel. But, I mean, everything after that is just, like, downhill. As far as, like, that movie itself. Like, oh, I'm on his side, but god damn, this is hard to watch. So, yeah. But back to the whole James McAvoy thing. I feel like this is obviously, they would have to go with that whole angle where it's like, okay, well, you can only not die. Like, you're not a martial arts expert. You're not, like, a fucking, like, gunsmith.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, you're just kind of a living dead puss who, like, who, like, can't really throw a punch but can't really die. So just go out there and take
hits. Try your best.
Go out there and just take hits until they die of a heart attack.
You can curve bullets.
Ooh.
We're like,
I'd like to see Nicolas Cage as the Crow.
God, yes.
Tell me that's not a movie he would do.
That would be fucking amazing.
He's basically done it already.
Yeah.
He's basically made the Crow. The only difference is in one version his head was on fire.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, someone needs to get on that.
I'll get him on the phone. Hey, Nick. It's your boys.
It's your agent, and you wouldn't know the difference.
You have to be the Crow. To which you'd respond, I do.
I'm the Crow every day. So anyway, moving on to other news. A couple of big Amazing Spider-Man news bits that came out this week. First up, we got a look at the new suit. There's a promo pic and then a couple of, like, just spy pics or something of the
dust spy pics
of the new suit that's gonna be made Spider-Man 2. And oh, Joe, you're super excited about the suit.
Fuck yeah, I am. And this is, like, Chris's subject here, so I don't want to take too much away, but I'm just happy as a borderline casual Spider-Man. I'm not hardcore, but I'm a little more hardcore than casual when it comes to my Spider-Man enjoyment. But the fact of the matter is, this looks literally like the comic book came to life. Something just as simple as making the eyes as big and the shape that they're supposed to be.
And white.
And white, which is really nice and not reflective. It's just like, it takes so little to make so many people so profoundly happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes me wonder why they don't do it more. Like, Christopher Nolan kind of did it in The Dark Knight when he threw in the lenses. Like, but they had, like, a purpose to serve,
mm-hmm.
which was cool, but this is, like, taking that a step further, I think.
What do you think, Chris?
I thought it was a good representation of, like, the 90s Spider-Man costume, which was, like, arguably the most iconic out of the whole, like, suit era. Because that's when, like, Spider-Man really started getting, like more recognition.
Hmm? Yeah. That's also when he had some of the most wacky suits, too.
Yes. And, I mean, it was like classic Coke, where, like, no matter how many suit changes he got, he always went back to, like, this kind of one default scheme.
Yeah.
And, me and Joe and Yuza, we've talked about, like, the elaborate details and just, like, the fabrics. Like, I wasn't a huge fan of the new one, but it was the most, like, realistic looking, the way he, like, discovered it and everything and, like, put it together.
Mm-hmm. It's a good year one suit.
Yeah, like, he put it together, it looked really nice. Problem was, is that, like, it didn't follow the pattern. Like, from the leg down. Like, it was like, this one thing that really irked me, that I was like, oh, it looks like a onesie. And and the thing that Jero said was, like, this is, like, year two now, where he's been Spider-Man for a while, he's probably gotten better, like, he's probably ripped the hell out of his suit to the point where he has to get a new one, which is great, because that shows, like, he's progressing as a hero. I did like Sam Raimi's suit, and it doesn't really change. Like that suit is pretty awesome. It's a little, like, glossy, and
it's like, presented, you know, like, the Spider-Man suit presented by Nike or something.
Yeah, like, it's a very, it had a lot of, like, weird, like,
just
details
it.
To it. And this one's more practical. Like, it's all fabric. It has the, like, iconic eyes, which is like, holy shit, how do you, like, it's like, oh my god, like, I forgot, like, it should be all white. It shouldn't be, like, reflective.
Right. But, like, it really does look like the comic book come to life. Like, and I think that that's important, because let's be honest here. The only time that I think a superhero's attire from the comics has been absolutely 100% recreated, you know, faithfully, was in the original Superman movies with yes. Christopher Reeves.
That's
the only time that it's been just like a straight up adaptation. And I think this is, like, you know, following in that sort of in those footsteps, which is good news, you know.
Okay, and now to go back to a better term that Joe said before, and he mentioned this, was like Sam Raimi's suit was like the movie version of a suit.
Yeah.
This suit in the new and the what's it, Spectacular Spider-Man?
Spider-Man 2.
Like, this is the comic, like, the almost the perfect comic suit mm-hmm. of it. Like, almost if you ever go to, like, Islands of Adventure, like, theme
yeah,
park.
Yeah, that's what he's wearing.
Yeah, that's just, like, he walked off, like, he went to a parade and walked off, and now they're filming it in a parade suit. Like, I'm going back in my head, like, I'm going back to, like, Macy Day parades or, like, yeah. a Thanksgiving parade. I'm like, Spider-Man! Like, that's what he would look like. He would look like he just walked out of a comic.
Except this time he's not smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, he's not, like, shattering.
Hey, happy gobble gobble day, kid.
So, but that's my take on it.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to see if this is just kind of, like, arbitrarily, like, yeah, I changed up the suit. Or if there's going to be some sort of, like, plot point. You know, like, maybe, oh, this suit fabric is, like, more resilient. Or, like, it deals with light better. Like, I don't know.
Gwen researched for internet Oscorp or whatever.
Hey, man, who knows? I mean, I'm really not sure. But, I mean, even if they do something with the eyes, too. Like, I could I'm not saying he needs, like, detective mode. But I could certainly understand if it, you know,
Google
maybe.
Google
Glass, dude. They could really do that. No, legitimately, yeah. They could really do that. That would be that. I would actually be okay with that. I would actually be okay with that. Not insofar as, like, he has, like, you know, the Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, like, detective mode style thing.
Just like,
but if he's got, like, a bit of a heads up display or something, I don't know. I wouldn't be totally opposed to that.
Oscorp has this new heads up display for glasses. Here, Peter, I stole it for you.
Yeah, here, Peter.
or he could order it from the same catalog he ordered his, like, web fluid from, like,
oh,
the
yeah,
Oscorp,
like, superhero
the Oscorp
supply,
Skyball
yeah.
catalog.
Don't they wonder why some, like, not non-worker is ordering crates of their, like, weird metal, synthetic, like, wire webs. Synthetic, yeah.
Like, this private residence in Queens.
And how this person is paying for it, by the way. Because that's military-grade shit. I can't imagine it being cheap.
And especially, like, pallets and pallets of it.
Yeah, really. But alas, you know, it's cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it'll be interesting to see what else happens, because, Zach, I believe there's some more Spider-Man news that came out today.
Yes, Joe. So we learned that we will be getting Norman Osborn in the movie, along with everybody else in everybody, like Harry Osborn, Mary Jane, Rhino, Electro, now Norman Osborn.
This movie is officially a balancing level. Act. Yeah, well, no, I won't say that, but it's a juggling act for sure, yes. Man.
But yeah, so we learned Chris Cooper is going to be playing Norman Osborn. Not sure if he's going to be Green Goblin. I'm going to guess he's going to imply it at the end of, like, he's going to, like, inject himself with Goblin Serum or something at the end of the movie, and, like, I'll be, like, set up for maybe Spider-Man 3, but,
I am a big fan if he actually injects something inside himself besides going to a gas chamber.
Yeah.
And just smelling it.
Yeah.
And getting angry.
Ah, it smells like Goblin. I'll kill everyone.
I never understood how the formula did that.
Because it precipitates in the tube and better absorption into your blood, Chris.
Oh, totally. Action movie science. Yeah, I'm a fan of this casting, though. Mm-hmm. He definitely looks evil. Like, no offense to Chris Cooper, but...
Maniacal laugh. Yeah,
exactly. Like, he was perfect for Muppets, and, like, in a way, like, that sort... No, seriously, like, that sort of melodrama is, like... Norman Osborn is sort of has that about him, like, inherently. Like, he's just inherently an over-the-top sort of, like, batshit crazy villain. You know? Like, for instance, Willem Dafoe was perfect.
Yep.
I thought, as Norman Osborn.
Maybe not the suit.
Their Green Goblin left a lot to be desired. The concept suit looked about 45,000 times better.
Yep.
But, you know, it's okay. It turned out the way it did. But, yeah, that I would be interested to see if they do a sort of, like, stinger after the credits where it's like, oh, now he's going to be the Goblin.
Or just, like, he just, like, types in his computer, and then he opens a file on computer, it's like, Goblin Project or something.
Yeah, Project Goblin.
Yeah.
Engage. But I have to say, for my money, if it's me writing the movie, I have the Goblin storyline developing throughout the course of this movie. And I maybe have him turning into the Goblin in the last act. And I maybe have him killing Gwen, and that's how the movie ends. Like, you want to talk about a setup for a sequel. How about the last thing we see is Peter, like, holding Gwen's dead body?
That, yeah.
You know, like,
the only thing with that is sad. They have to, like Electro or Rhino would have to get, like, defeated in, like, the first act or something.
Well, my gut is telling me that Rhino is not a main villain.
He's just like showing like Peter is like he's like the opening Scott movie. It's like Peter's like he's possessed in like the first action sequence.
I really do think he's going to open up the movie.
Yeah,
I really do think that's going to be the first thing. It's going to be Peter fighting the Rhino, and it's like, look how good he is at being Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then Electro is going to have an actual storyline and be developed.
Maybe some sort of like Oscorp test person or something.
Well, that's what Rhino is going to be, man. You got to play the Amazing Spider-Man video game, because they actually did a really great job of tying together, like, what if there were other people, like the lizard, but with other animals? And, like, that's how you get, like, Scorpion involved, and that's how you get,
Black Cat. And
Black Cat, and that's
rival
also,
scientist teams, and...
Right, and Rhino. And Rhino. Like, I think that was a pretty cool explanation, and so just being like, yeah, we made this suit that looks like a rhino, because we exist in the comics. And everything has to be an animal or an idea. So, yeah, that's sort of interesting with all these characters now. Like, you kind of have to wonder, like, who's going to be major, who's going to be minor. Shit, Norman Osborn might not even play a major role in this movie. They might not, like, introduce him until halfway through.
Well, because in the first one, they sort of, like, this is like, oh, no one ever sees Norman Osborn, or, like, what he's...
Yeah.
He's like some sort of like weird like Howard Hughes sort of guy or like.
Yeah. Well, and he's like allegedly.
He's like the Emperor from Star Wars. He's just like in the background.
Precisely. And he like allegedly shows up in the end credits.
Yeah, who knows?
We don't know who that is. We don't know what the fuck any of that means.
Yeah.
So useless. But,
did you tell the boy about his parents?
Yeah. You told him about my precious? Very bizarre. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll find more. I'm sure, like, Comic-Con or something, we'll find way more about. We'll do a big thing about Amazing Spider-Man. We'll hopefully get some more details about that.
Oh, first trailer is coming out at Comic-Con.
Yeah, probably.
Bet your bottom dollar. Actually, probably Iron Man 3. No.
I think it's probably a little too, they just started shooting like a week or two ago, so.
Well, maybe a teaser.
Yeah.
Like, all they really have to do is throw together a Dark Knight-style teaser where it's a little bit of dialogue and then a spider and then a two.
Because, mm-hmm. yeah, it's like, I'm going to say probably Thor, too, because Thor 2 is in, like, November this year.
Yeah, but Comic-Con would come before that, so they might do a teaser. They'll have something there. They will.
If
Godzilla knows what's good for him, he'll have something there, too.
Like, Marvel's talking about, like, all their... They have to talk about, like, Guardians of the Galaxy. It's coming out this year, and, like, Cap 2 and Avengers 2 and all that stuff, so...
Yeah.
So, anyway, actually, speaking of comics, other casting news for comic book movies, the much-maligned Platinum Dunes remake... reboot of Ninja Turtles, produced by Michael Bay, had a bit of casting news last week. It turns out that the feud between Michael Bay and Megan Fox is apparently over, as she's going to be starring in Ninja Turtles.
I gotta get that feud going again.
Like, it's gotta be April O'Neil. There's no other possible.
Oh no, make her Venus de Milo.
Yes.
Here's a curveball. Make her Shredder.
Oh.
Female Shredder.
Oh my god.
And this time, Shredder's sexy.
Fanboys' heads would explode, and then they'd write angry emails.
How dare you, Michael Bay?
I thought I hated you during Transformers, but now I really hate you.
I hate your money you give me to do these things.
I hate you that I paid $10 for to see this movie.
Well, listen, as long as they're not, like, wisecracking, like, urban, street-tough aliens.
We don't know how to read. We don't speak Turtleese.
Hey, man, I went to public schools. I don't know how to do science. Donatello just, like, cooks meth.
Yo,
a street scientist.
Let's get down to bitness.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, they're gonna be, like, I don't know, they said they're not gonna be aliens now, right?
I hope he
didn't say anything. The only thing he said was that Megan Fox was in it, and that he called it Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and not just Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that means that he's unfucked the movie.
I mean, I'd be fine if like the ooze was alien because that's kind of what it is anyway. But
yeah,
like because he was talking about like, oh, it's turtles and they come from the turtle planet, and then it was like.
People were like, no!
Fuck you! It's like Mighty Ducks the cartoon.
Here come the Mighty Ducks. Something, something, something!
From Duckopolis, or whatever the planet was.
Duckopolis.
Where everyone plays hockey.
And Tim Curry showed up and fucked up everyone's day.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that makes this new Ninja Turtles movie like more of it's a lot more of a like a actual thing now.
Great.
I don't know. I gotta see more info.
Hopefully, it's better than like the Platinum Dunes horror remakes, though. It's gotta be at least better than those.
Wait, what remakes?
Like all the horror remakes they've done, like Nightmare on Elm Street, and I think they did the Texas Chainsaw movies. They also did the Friday the 13th remake.
Okay.
Which that's pretty much like all the Platinum Dunes is doing lately is like the horror remakes. But anyway, moving on to the last bit of news. So news came out earlier this week that Jack Reacher, debuted overseas, mainly in like Asia and other markets, and it made enough money to warrant a sequel.
Oh,
because they're basically like it did pretty good in America, but they're like saying like it would have to make over like cross over 200 million like worldwide gross to get a sequel. So apparently, sort of like Asia helped push it over that mark. So now there's a Jack Reacher 2 coming.
Man, they really love like just American Tom Cruise.
Just like Japan and China are like Tom Cruise.
Yeah, American. Yeah.
Show me the money. You can handle truth. Yeah, no, it'd be awesome if they do, for Jack Reacher 2, if Jack Reacher actually has some sort of flaw. Or like a character.
Yeah, something he can't
yeah,
do.
Yeah, something they can't
yeah,
do.
Yeah, like maybe his flaw is that he's fucking 5'7" and can't kick the shit out of all those people.
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't have like Sherlock Holmes level of like deductive reasoning. And instant expert in every weapon in every car.
Maybe he does get lucky and he gets caught. Like it seemed like his whole reasoning skill was insane in that movie. Every woman in that movie found him attractive.
Yep.
He knew exactly
every law, every possible like every like bullet trajectories, weather condition. Like he knew exactly what happened at, like just by looking at stuff. And like, he was like a one man like CSI mixed with like Jack Bauer. I don't know any plots of any Jack Reacher books, so I don't know what the next movie would be. Because I think they based this, like, this one was based on, like, the fifth book or something? Or, like, the fourth or fifth book?
Something. It's like, his earlier stuff is more interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, Cruise isn't young anymore,
the actual book is called One Shot.
And even then, like, that's, like, in his, like, this is after he got... He fired. He left the like military police. Mm-hmm. So he has like a lot more. I don't know. I kind of read up interest. Like,
aren't they like? Is he always out of the military police? So there's not books that he's in the military police, is there?
I think it's like flashbacks.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's flashbacks and stuff, but like,
and there's also like an arc where like he has a brother,
mm-hmm.
and his brother gets killed, and he has to go like find out like who killed his brother.
Mm-hmm.
But this one they don't explore that. He's just like, I'm just Jack.
I'm a hobo who travels around and solves crimes.
I'm a pretty hobo.
The world's most competent hobo.
The most competent hobo there is.
Yep. Solving real estate crimes and stuff.
I can't believe that was the plot twist.
Evil Russian gulag prisoner wants to like buy up the land in the city and like.
He really wants to develop the city of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it Pittsburgh or Chicago?
It's Pittsburgh, I think. They bought that quarry. They're so evil.
Oh man, they just really love herbal development.
Yeah. Well, they come into the city, buy everything up, then leave it, Chris. They're like parasites or something.
They were so angry about that. I really don't understand.
They come in, buy up, they build super shitty buildings and leave and go to another city.
Do it all over again. Like, how are they making money?
By like shaving money off their supplies and stuff, I guess, and like building horrible buildings.
I guess. I don't know. That's not evil.
Like land development firm is that you like use shitty supplies to build your buildings and like steal the money that you usually use. Like we're gonna use like balsa wood instead of regular wood for this building.
If it rains, this place collapses.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so Jack Reacher 2 coming sometime in the near future to a theater near you. So that's it for news this week. Unless there's anything else you guys can think of that we need to talk about, news wise. All right, so moving on to New Year's Roundup, and there's not really anything too big coming out. There's no pick of the week because we haven't seen any of these movies. but coming out is The Master.
Good. Played
from Paul Thomas Anderson. Joaquin Phoenix, Philip Seymour Hoffman, vaguely Scientology.
Great.
Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2 is out this week. Actually coming out on, like, Saturday or something, because it's so special that it has to come out on a special day.
What? It comes out on, like, on release time.
Yeah. There's, like, yeah, apparently there's, that. Like, apparently there's, like, an extended edition, so if you want to, like, just, like, extend the torture, just, like a 3-hour long version or something. The only reason I would even, like, consider, like, renting that would be for Rift Tracks, so...
Sure. If they do, like, a Rift Track marathon of it.
They've done every other Twilight movie, so I'm sure they'll do that one. Did you listen to the How Does It Get Made episode about Breaking Dawn Part 2, Chris?
No.
They're, like, flipping out and saying that it was awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, that's a,
cause
I got...
Because like, apparently this one is just, like, finally acknowledges how stupid it is, and, like, just, it has, like... Oh, vampire battles, and there's, like, they travel all the world, like, gather, like, these X-Men of vampires to come and help them fight and stuff. It's like, it's fire vampire, it's electricity vampire. I don't know. I'm just glad they're all over. So we don't have to deal with these Twilight movies anymore.
Well, they're getting rebooted, so... Strapped on your Compton hat. Yeah.
Well, we got, like, Stephanie Meyer's other fucking book that she wrote, like, The Host, coming out in, like, a couple weeks. It's not vampires, it's aliens. Also, this week we have Africa, which is the latest sort of BBC nature documentary.
I thought it was a Toto song.
It also is. I hope that song's in the movie.
Better be.
Chasing Mavericks, starring Gerard Butler, surfing movie, horrible, horrible bomb.
I thought that was gonna be like, I heard there was really no, like, challenge in that movie. It's just like, he learns to surf.
Yep, that's it.
The end.
Then he died that's a few years later or something.
Spoilers.
Spoilers for real life. Spoilers who don't know Google.
Yeah. Silent Hill Revelation 3D, so I think the non-3D version came out a couple weeks ago, now that you can get the 3D version.
Good.
Rocko's Modern Life, the complete series.
Wow.
And that show got away with so much back then.
Yeah, like, he worked for, like, a fucking, like, sex line.
Hotline.
One sex line, yeah.
One sex line. And then his neighbor was always trying to bang him.
Mm-hmm.
And
she was.
And what, like, there was, like, a bunch of, like, innuendos about drug usage and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's pretty much like it deserves another once over, I'd say.
I mean, it's kind of like Adventure Time-ish back then. Or, like...
Except without a nuclear holocaust.
Right. But it's just, like, the amount of, like, adult, like, content that just kind of spewed in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Nickelodeon show, the first, sort of like the first hour pilot episode is on DVD this week. Rise of the Turtles.
Rise.
We have this year's Royal Rumble on Blu-ray and DVD this week.
Holler.
We have Joshua Tree on Blu-ray and DVD this week, which is a Dolph Lundgren super deep cut.
Yeah. Cut so deep.
Zombie Lake Remastered Edition is on Blu-ray this week.
I might actually buy that. No joke. Love me some Zombie Lake.
And that's it.
If you've never seen Zombie Lake, treat yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not kidding.
So Nazi zombies?
Nazi zombies at the bottom of a lake. Whole lot of rape going on in that movie. Those Italians, they know how to do it.
Yep. Zombie with two I's and no E.
Zombie,
yeah.
Yes. If you have Netflix Instant Watch, Zombie Lake was actually recently added, so...
Oh, man.
Do that.
So, that. Yeah, so that's it for the movie. This is why we get into Show and Tell. And,
Ooh.
I'll say, besides Oscars and stuff, Joe, what are you watching?
Okay. I finally saw Sinister.
Okay.
As did Chris. watched it together in each other's arms.
Crying.
Yeah. Oh, I was crying hysterically. Have to say, not bad. Not bad. Loses a little bit of steam at the end, and there's a lot of snuff going on, which is a little... there's, like, a lot of... This movie tries to make, like, snuff movies, like, cool. And 8mm tried that, too, and it just can't make snuff cool, no matter how hard you try. And it's kind of weird, because, like, the dad or whatever, like, the writer who's going through all this crap, like... When he watches these, like, creepy home movies that get left for him by, like, you know, this eater of children, this demonic spirit.
Bagugu.
Bagugu. Bagugu. Yeah.
Mr. Boogie.
Yeah.
So, pretty much, instead of being like, oh my god, I should stop watching these and go to therapy or, like, bury these somewhere and not deal with it, he's like, okay, there's only one way to deal with this. I'm going to get as hammered as I can and watch them over and over and over. Like, not really the best way to deal with things, but, I mean, what do I know?
Let me transfer that to my Mac so I can play them frame by
frame. Yeah, let me freeze frame this.
Yeah.
And let me just lose sleep for days at a time over this. That's good. Anyway, the horror elements were, I would say, pretty good. It's full of cheap scares, like, oh, something's going to pop out at you, blah, blah, blah. But it's also kind of cerebral and methodical in its approach, like, kind of like Mama, but definitely more along the lines of Insidious, which makes a lot of sense because it's basically the same, like, people who brought you Insidious. It's definitely very disturbing, especially in, like, the... I guess, creativity, like the art of the murders and everything. I think the format, the delivery rather, is fantastic because you basically have this guy who's like finding all these murders like that were taped on like Super 8 film, which is creepy as hell to watch and also very, very cool. And I like the whole idea of it being this like ancient entity that like eats kids or whatever, and but like gets the kids to like, minor spoiler alert, like, do his bidding. So, like, it's not so much, like, the demon that's killing people, but rather inspiring, like, the children to kill in, like, elaborate ways. So that's an okay twist, I guess. But what really did bother me about the movie, though, is that at the end it just really drags on. Like, just this shit where it's, like, first of all, the big reveal that it's, like, kids doing the killing... And not this, like, spooky boogeyman dude. That's not that big of a reveal. Like, it's kind of implied really heavily. And you don't have to be a detective to figure out what's going on. So by the time they do reveal it, they're like, oh, I bet you didn't see that coming. And now we're going to show you footage of them just, like, walking down a hallway. And stretch this out into 5 minutes. And just in case you forgot, it was the kids doing the murders, so let's show them again. So, yeah, they kind of beat a dead horse a little bit. And another thing I found really cheap that kind of took away from it was, like, the final scare of the movie.
Oh, my God.
Which I won't... Yeah.
I saw,
did you see it?
I saw it when I was working. Yeah. It's so stupid. It's like, well, when you
want... It really...
Like, it has nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah. And... To me, the more you see him, the more, first of all, he looks just like Jim Root with his mask on from Slipknot. So, like, by halfway through the movie, every time he'd appear, I'd be like, Jim Root, ladies and gentlemen. Or, like, start singing, like, the first few lyrics of a Slipknot song or whatever. But, yeah, that last scare just, like, really cheapens everything. Because the more obscured he is, the less you see him, the more you build him up in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you're like, ooh, this is spooky. You know, it's like the times that Michael Myers is scariest is when you're seeing his view, is when you're seeing, like, first person. Or when you open up the closet and he's not there. And then you're thinking, oh, fuck, where is he? But in this, it's like, oh, he's going to pop out. And then he's like, oh, it's me, the ghoul.
See you guys in Insidious 2. Or
yeah,
no, her. Or Sinister 2.
Well, who knows? They might do a fucking crossover. I don't know.
Because, yeah, like, that, like, whatever, Pazuzu or whatever from It's Sinister. It takes out, like, the demon from Insidious.
Zuzu. Yeah, that, you know what, whatever it takes, like Darth Maul versus Jim Root, that'd be kind of cool, but yeah, like, that's another thing, like, that final scare at the end, like, you can pause that on Blu-ray and look and be like, that looks like a cross between, like, Casey Jones and, like, I don't, and, like, a zombie, like, yeah. I don't even know what that's supposed to be. Like, I thought it was kind of scarier when he was a cross between, like, a weird, like, sad French mime and some sort of demon and 1998 Sting from WCW. Like, and he's in the pool, and he's, like, obscured, and you can't really tell what form he is and blah, blah, blah.
He looks like you!
Yeah, yeah. Then all of a sudden he just shows up at a fucking Party City mask, like, ah, so... terrifying.
Don't you remember when everyone was wearing that costume this year for Halloween, Joe? Or last year? It was just
the Sinister suit?
No.
Oh, no. That could happen. You mark my words. It could happen. But, oh yeah, and the only other thing that kind of upset me was they should have done more of that whole, like, he's been around since the Middle Ages thing. Because, like, there's this whole, like, sub-storyline going on where, like, he's working with some, like, demonologist or something from some university.
Yeah.
Who's like, oh, that's his symbol. And, like, he was a devourer of children. And, like, that's kind of cool, I guess. But, like, you know, they don't really explain anything else other than that. Like, there are no other sort of, like, famous cases of him. And there's no, like... I don't know, like, Bagul society. So, it's just a little bit underdeveloped, I think. Like, I think they could have done more with that and made it, like, more of a plot point than, like, oh, well, two Skype calls with this crazy professor, and I'm, like, an expert on this demon.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll probably be Sinister 2, Joe.
Yeah, no, I know. There's going to be a Sinister 2. Insidious 2 is already shooting.
Yep.
And Mama 2 is... definitely gonna happen at this point. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Mama 2, kind of related, that whole Dark Justice League thing, it actually turns out that Guillermo del Toro is pitching that to WB and DC, like, in the very near future.
Yeah.
So it looks like we might actually get that and not just have to wonder about how cool it could have been. So that's now my number one on the horror radar.
Mm-hmm.
That and a sequel to the Friday the 13th reboot, if that ever happens, because I actually enjoyed that.
The one good Platinum Dunes remake.
Exactly. Well, yeah, there are all these interviews, like 2 or 3 years ago, where they're like, the guys who made it were like, oh yeah, I'd kind of like to see, like, I just have this awesome idea of, like, seeing Jason in the snow. Because, like, we've never actually seen that, and I think that presents, like, a whole new sort of, like, weird dynamic for him. And I'm like, okay, that could be a cool thing to go with. You're telling us an awful lot of stuff about what you'd like to see happen in a Friday the 13th movie. Is there maybe something going on? And they're like, nah, no, you know.
Whatever.
Isn't Jason's fear, shit, like, water? So what happens if you put him in snow? He's like, ah, no fear!
It's like really cold water. Cold white water.
And then Liam Neeson just, like, comes up and, like, punches him in the face with, like, a broken, like, airline bottles.
It's the gray. Crystal Lake does not wait for you to be ready. And here you face water.
Live or die on this day.
We've taught you how to swim. We'll teach you how to swim 6 miles.
So, anything else on Sinister, Joe, that you watched?
We watched it down with an episode of VR Troopers.
Hell yeah.
And I have been really getting into Breaking Bad now. After, like, years of just kind of, like, being a hipster about it and being like, yeah, I don't know, man. Everyone likes it, so I'm not going to like it until people forget about it. But yeah, I started watching it, and I'm pretty much hooked. I'm like halfway through season 2, which may not sound impressive, but I actually have a job, like, that I can't just, like, watch all day long, and I only started on Sunday. So within a week to go through, like, a season and a half, that's not, you know, terrible, I'd say, but... yeah, it's a really excellent show. If you're being a dick like me and just choosing not to watch it because everyone likes it, fucking stop, because it's awesome, and you should treat yourself. It's a really great show. And I can't even really describe why it's great, which is part of what makes it so good. Like, if someone said, like, oh, what's your favorite thing about Breaking Bad? I'm like, I don't know. It's just really good. Just a really good show. Like, everything about it is just really good.
Mm-hmm. Bryan Cranston, really good.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like Mad Men. It's like, it's not like I can identify, like, oh, I really like the womanizing, or like, oh, I really like the problem drinking.
I really like the meth cooking.
I like the suits a lot. Yeah, really. Like, it's not like I'm a fucking, like, meth aficionado, but it's definitely just, like, a hot enchilada of awesomeness. Lots going on.
Mm-hmm. So
watch that.
Anything else, Joe?
Nah, man.
Chris?
Nah.
I pretty much followed the same combo as Joe between Sinister, a couple of episodes of VR Troopers, and Breaking Bad.
Okay.
So with Sinister, like, I kind of knew the outcome. I just didn't see the whole movie. So again, it tried to make snuff films to be like this horrible, like, the first moment he realizes he's watching a bunch of snuff films, he's just pretty much like, I should turn this over to the police. Mm-hmm. And this movie been like reduced in half, where it's like, hey, I found this in my basement. There's like a bunch of like evidence that I should probably share.
It's like Life of Pi. The real thing would have been 5 minutes long. This would be like, man finds horrible crime scene footage in basement, turns over to authorities, gets a cookie.
And the worst part was, you know, that would make him famous for discovering that alone. He's a struggling writer who's trying to get back to his fame. And I'm like, you know, at certain points when... It's like if Stephen King couldn't write a horror book anymore for some strange reason. He's just like, I can't, he doesn't find inspiration. He probably would find something else to do to, like, make some money, you know?
Bussing tables.
Like, write a manuscript, right? Like, a how-to-write a horror story. I don't know.
The Stephen King cookbook.
I just feel like there were so many options to this man that he was so... Okay, wait. So I'm skipping ahead. So from what Joe said, right? It's not like he was broke-ass poor living in a shit apartment. He moves out of, like, this huge-ass mansion.
Into the murder house. He's like, oh, man.
Into another murder house. Yeah. And we're like, because when they start, like, when he goes, oh, let's move back to our old place. Me and Joe are like, that's his old place? Was his fucking huge mansion?
I haven't
read the book in so many years, though.
But still, like, it's like, yeah, we're like, fuck this guy. Because it's like, it became, like, unlikable. His character.
My last book only sold 5 million copies.
Oh, what's 5 million only going to buy me? And did you ever... I mean, you didn't see this in theaters, but there's a bonus scene that kind of explains a few things with this neighbor character that me and Joe just love. Because it's like, she's in it for like possibly 5 minutes, but they actually explain a few things that that like hints about the children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, they cut it, and it's like, oh, like, you'd never see her in this movie, ever. Like, they never mention it again. And it kind of makes sense. Like, it kind of made the movie, like, a lot better if they did include it, but...
Well, to tie it back into The Crow, it's like when they cut out the Skull Cowboy. They just completely and totally cut out this, like, mentor character who sort of, like, guides Eric Draven on his quest for revenge.
When that happens in the movie?
Fuck yeah, man! There's a whole cut character and a whole cutout like section of The Crow that involves this guy called the Skull Cowboy. He was basically telling him like, the same shit happened to me, and now I'm just doomed to like walk the earth and help you queers like try to get your revenge. And like, I don't think he was the original, but he's like he's like the Clint Eastwood of like crow spirits or some shit. But yeah, like he basically like kind of helps him along and advances the plot and shit like that. And ultimately they decided it was more mysterious to just cut him and let, you know, Eric Draven just kind of figure his own way out. And I think that's what happened with Sinister. I think they're kind of like, oh yeah, this is a good like hint at the whole like mystery. Unless people put two and two together that it's the kids. I mean, me watching it, I didn't know the ending, but I basically put it together just because I've seen so many goddamn horror movies. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if they had left that whole thing in where it's like, oh, yeah, the kids start acting real weird, they did. Yep. I'll tell you what. It's the kids. Like, then it would have been too obvious. And I guess they just wanted that sort of, like, twist ending for most people in the movie theater. So they had that, like,
oh Jesus moment.
Oh damn.
Oh shit.
Like, Sinister's not bad if you're trying to get someone into horror films. Like, yeah. It's a good, like, beginner prime film.
Or if you're trying to hold hands with that special girl.
Yeah.
Right. Because I remember, like, halfway through, we started cracking so many jokes about, like, calling Mr. Bogogi, like, Michael Jackson, just, like, spiriting away children.
Yeah, when he grabbed that kid, and I was like, hee-hee. He just, like,
it's, like,
vanished.
It's supposed to be one of the scariest moments, and Joe just breaks out Michael Jackson things. And I'm just like, yep, we do not take this movie serious at all.
It's all ignorance. It's all ignorance.
Just vanished, like, yeah.
Shimon.
Shimon.
Come on, boys, to Neverland.
It sounds like I do a commentary on that movie now.
Is he going to turn into the Moonwalker?
Yeah, but like, there's just not enough like comedy to keep it like full commentary. Yeah. There's just like the signs where it's just like, what is happening? Why?
Yeah, you can't really like. I feel like if you make fun of him while he's watching a snuff film of like kids dying at. Probably wouldn't win too many fans over for
it's
us.
Like, hey-o!
But then again, yeah, exactly. But then again, who knows?
Yeah, and currently I am on season 3 of Breaking Bad, and I'm, like, right when, like, fans were getting, like, rabid. I mean, I guess, like, season 2 was... Season 1 is, like, the questionable, like, season where, like, you don't know if it's gonna be, like, great or not. Season 2, it's, like, when they get more funding. But season 3 of a show is, like, is when they finally get their mark, I think, mm-hmm. for this. Like, there's... The story picks up so fast, like...
Thank God.
There is no, like, Mad Men style, like, and 5 years later or something like that. It's kind of like... And the next week, only because of a Walt's condition where they kind of have to, like, keep it, like, every week is, like, a new problem for them.
Yep.
So... I do appreciate that. There's no, like, montage, like, a year goes by or something. I don't want to spoil anything because it's a great show for anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, like, if you aren't up till season 3, like, that's when, like, shit goes bonkers and everything starts making connections and stuff.
Yeah, I just got to the point where I want to beat Walt's wife to death with a fucking rusty hammer.
I had this theory about AMC and then women. Like, AMC just hates women. It's just, like, their forte is to have, like, a wife character who you just fucking, like, I would slap this bitch. Or, like...
every woman on AMC is a shrew or a succubus.
I think each show has, like, one of those characters.
Yes. You know what it has to do with? Something about the main character always having a problem with his wife. Either she's, like, a bitch, or she's dead, or...
That's a human struggle.
Or she's, like, missing, I think, like...
Aren't they all the horrible women on the AMC, like, blonde, too?
Yeah, that, too.
Wasn't the killings, like, the guy senator's wife, like, a brunette?
We'll call her Dirty Blonde.
I never got too,
like,
far into
it. It's, like, it's Betty, and then, like, now it's Andrea on Walking Dead, because she's a total bitch.
Well, she's not blonde, right?
She's blonde,
She's blonde?
Yeah, Andrea is blonde.
I thought you meant on Mad Men.
Yeah. Colorblind, by the way. So.
Yes, I said Betty on Mad Men.
Right, right. Well, no. Well, what's Dom's other wife?
Frenchie?
Frenchie.
Frenchie Mick, 17-year-old. Yeah. Like, yeah. However old she was when Don first started raping. I mean... courting her.
Yeah,
I don't know, but AMC really, like, I looked at them like, oh, their popular show have marital problems,
like, and really twatty women.
Yeah, like, just women who just don't take the current situation serious, and they're just kind of like, it's about me,
we're gonna talk about our feelings. It's like, no, there's zombies.
Like, yeah. Eating a cook. Pretty or there's zombies to fight, or there's marketing to do.
Yeah.
Or in the case of Mad Men, like, oh, I want attention. Oh, Russia might nuke us.
Yeah.
Like, we're very close to nuclear Armageddon.
And we need to sign Jaguar, so shut up.
Yeah, really. And Lucky Strike is really riding my balls about this deal.
Or they're dead and building trains.
They're all they're all fantastic shows, though. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I hate women, so it's fine. Like, it works out fine for me.
Luckily, there's no women who listen to the show, bro. So.
Yeah.
So.
And lastly, I did watch. I finished Warrior.
The Tom Hardy.
Yep. Tom Hardy,
MMA movie.
I didn't realize the other brother that's not Tom Hardy was Owen Lars from Star Wars, like the remake. I mean, not the prequels.
Yeah, Joel Edgerton.
Yep.
Who's also, what the hell else was he just did?
Other things.
Yeah, other things.
Zero Dark Thirty.
No, that was Jason Clark.
I always confuse them.
Yeah, they look very similar.
But yeah, it's a fantastic movie. It got me pumped up for like an actual UFC fight that me and Joe watched. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, like, Tom Hardy, like, it's still like, I would not want to throw a punch at him, like, in real life.
No.
He seems like either he's gonna, like,
might hold you down and fuck you.
Yeah, he might, like, and in reality, he doesn't look big compared to a bunch of actors, but he's still, like, athletic looking to, like, still be threatening.
He'll, like, pick you up and, like, break you over his knee.
Yeah, and then fuck you.
He should have done that to, like, one of the guys in Warrior, just been, like, over his head, knee slam, just walked off.
Yep. And he continues a rich tradition of weird fucking accents.
Because he can't hide his accent. He's, like, crazy British accent at all.
Yeah, he's where he's, have, like, a quasi-Puerto Rican,
he and Sam Worthington need to, like, team up to play, like, buddy cops. Like, American buddy cops, who can't, but they're clearly not there.
What are you saying?
Oi, mate, I'm from New York.
Yeah.
Can't you tell by my accent?
I'm from the Bronx.
Or, like...
Yeah, you could have Statham in it, too. You could have Stallone in it. You could have Michael Winslow, Liam Neeson... Oh, man. That'd be really good.
The farm is 4 kilometers away.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson tries to be an American cowboy.
It'll be awful hard to traverse.
It's got to be 30, 40 fathoms deep.
It's so true.
It doesn't, like, no one cares anymore. Just, like, Liam Neeson, Do what you want.
He could be the president. He could play the next president of the United States, and people would still see that movie.
He could literally replace all his dialogues with, like, pregnant farts, and I would still watch his movies. Yeah.
He's like one of the best presenters at the Oscars.
Everyone was silent.
I forgot what he presented, but it was just like Liam Neeson.
Doesn't matter.
Like, shut up, everyone. Liam Neeson's talking.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, he showed up, and everyone in my house was like, "Oh, whoop."
Liam Neeson's talking.
Liam Neeson.
Best animated feature.
Yeah.
Best Pixar film.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Pretty much. It's like, you know, I was in the gray. But it'd be nice to get a little goddamn respect from you fuckers.
Yeah. Anyway, as far as what I'm watching, you guys watched a couple awesome TV shows. Well, like, at least one awesome TV show. I watched the absolutely horrible show. Called Zero Hour.
Oh no!
Which debuted probably like 2 weeks ago on ABC. Sort of like their, it's like a weird like Da Vinci Code conspiracy theory. And I read from a bunch of like AV Club had a review, and then like a couple of, like Io9's been doing like recaps of it, but like they were saying like it was so hilariously awful that it was like one of the best bad shows ever. And unfortunately, I did not share that opinion because it wasn't like fun stupid. It was just like completely stupid and boring.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's actual. It started off like I was like, oh my god, yes, this is. I know what they're talking about because it's like it starts out in like the 1930s, and there's like this secret society in like Germany that's like building these clocks, and then they find out the Nazis are doing like these like genetic experiments. So, like, two of the guys sneak off to this hospital, and they find, like, a demon baby with, like, albino eyes. And then that's it. They just, like, come back, and the Nazis kill them all. And I guess they hide the clocks or something somewhere, and they take like this like weird casket or something that they're hiding under this church, and like go off with it, and then that's it. And then cut to like modern day New York, where Anthony Edwards, aka Goose, Top Gun, and other movies, and ER, and a bunch of other shows, but his wife buys a clock at the flea market. It turns out to be like one of these, I guess, doomsday clocks or some other stupid thing that these clocks do. And she gets kidnapped, and that's the whole point of the show. Is like he's trying to figure out who kidnapped his wife. But after demon Nazi baby and stuff, like the show is just like it's just like the show just totally grinds to a halt. It's like stupid like people talking about nothing, and nothing happens, and it's super boring. So
cool.
So definitely would not recommend checking it out. Maybe if it was like a Nicolas Cage movie, then it would be interesting.
Well, of course it would be.
I gotta figure out what's going on with these clocks.
I have to find out the demon baby secret.
I have to stop the Nazi demon baby. Oh, and the Nazi demon baby grows up to be Michael Nyquist, aka the bad guy from Mission Impossible: Ghost Protocol.
Wow.
Ugh.
And they find like a U-boat or something in like Antarctica. I don't know what the hell's going on. It's a horrible show.
Horrible show now, or just awesome writing? That'll hit you later.
It'll probably be canceled later, Chris, so I'm sure it's going to be canceled sometime soon. Because apparently it did worse than like Last Resort did in that same time slot. So, and Last Resort got canceled. Well,
didn't they actually finish the Last Resort story?
It did like five times better than Zero Hour did, like ratings-wise. Like apparently, no, that was the NBC I was reading about. Like apparently NBC... if you combined all their ratings together, they're still like if NBC was a show on like any other network, they would have been canceled. Combined, like other shows combined, it doesn't even equal like one Nielsen rating.
Wow.
So NBC's doing horrible, and then Zero Hour did like I think it did like less than one or something.
Didn't NBC do that show where it's like The Other Me or something, that weird, like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing?
Oh, Do No the medical one?
Do No Harm.
That's two episodes, and they canceled it.
God damn.
Then they have Smash, which is doing absolutely horrible.
I thought Smash was doing well.
First season it was like, oh my god, everyone's like watching Smash, and then they came back and was like, no one cares anymore.
And that's fun. That's it. When does that end?
Like the only shows like they had like NBC has is like Revolution, The Voice, and Grimm, weirdly enough. Like, Grimm's like their third best show. But they,
Once Upon a Time?
No, that's ABC.
ABC.
And then other show I watched the first episode of Robot Combat League.
Oh, God.
AKA wow. Real Steel in Real Life on Sci-Fi Channel. And that show...
Do they actually control the robots? Like, does it look reasonable that
like
they are?
Robot Wars.
Well, what's going on is, like... They have this like robot expert guy who built 12 robots of varying themes. There's like a military robot and like a medieval robot and another, like they have different themes that they have. Then they recruited like these like teams of two, which is like there's a bunch of like engineers and programmers, and then like weird like gamer and athletes and MMA fighters and stuff. So it's like they kind of paired like a nerd with like a athlete or like other thing. And then so each like for each team one person gets into like this weird like arm rig and controls the arms using like these like hydraulic arms, and then the other person is like using joysticks to control the feet and the body, so that's how they move the robot and stuff. And then the robot's on like this like support system, so but they can like they, it walks and then they can punch and stuff. So and they're having like this like it's like a they're having like this big tournament of like each week it's like one team they're building up like this championship, and then each week they're gonna have like, two teams face off against each other. It was I would say it's kind of stupidly fun. Like it's not super clunky, and I don't exactly know like because like whenever they punch each other like sparks are flying everywhere, so I don't know if like they have some sort of sensors. Yeah. Causing damage, like they know what the damage is being caused, or just like sparks for like dramatic effect. But They did have a couple of, like, actuators break, which is kind of awesome. So, like one of the robots, like, arm almost fell off when they were, like, punching. So they'd, like, stop, like, they have, like, 20 minutes in between rounds to, like, fix the robot. But so they have, like, it's, like, all this stupid, like, they have, like, judges scoring it, and they have, like, all this scoring system, and they have, like, commentators and stuff, and, like, Chris Jericho's hosting it, and it's, like, it's kind of, like, charmingly stupid.
Well, I could do that.
Yeah, definitely, like, if you, and, I don't know if they're going to do it in later episodes, but the good thing was, like, it sort of wasn't, like, you know how, like, a lot of radio shows is like, oh my god, and they're in the house now, they're yelling at each other. Like, this one show just seemed like, and here's they're practicing with a robot, and they're going to fight. There's not a lot of, like, stupid, like, forced drama of, like, they're all living in the same house together. So, it's definitely better than, like, I don't know, like, Full Metal Jousting or something that was on Disney Channel.
You're, like, the only one who watched that, too.
I watched, like, the first, like, three episodes, and I was like, okay, I had enough of this.
That show got canceled, right?
I think they finished it. I don't know.
Well, I didn't see any marketing for it.
I'm sure they...
I don't know. It felt gimmicky in the sense where, like, are they really controlling the robots? Like, or is it just kind of like, yeah, your emotions do help to, like, some degree, and then the rest is just kind of, like, programmed?
I mean, I think the guy, like, doing the feet and stuff and moving, like, moving them around, I think they're definitely kind of fully in control. I don't know, how, like, if the arms are, like, completely, like, one-to-one with them doing it, but... And hopefully, like, the first battle was, like, really kind of super clunky and then just, like, basically, like, smashing into each other, like, not really boxing. But maybe, like, when they get more practice with it, like, each week they'll get better and smoother and stuff.
Maybe.
Because, like, when the dude who, like, created all the robots came out to, like, introduce them to, like, the robots, like, they're, like, super smooth. Because, like, obviously he's been doing it for, like, he's the one who made them, so he knows how they work them and stuff, so.
So anything like Real Steel?
I mean, because all the robots have, like, they all have, like, a theme. It's, like, it's, like, a military robot with, like, he's camouflage painted as, like, a gas mask and stuff, and so it's, like, there's, like, one robot has, like, mini guns on its hand instead of hands and stuff, so it's, like, super gimmicky robots and stuff. And they all, like, crazy, they have, like, crazy names, like, Axe Grinder or Medieval or Steel Cyclone.
They call this the Lonely Bob robot. Why? Well, because people who operate this are lonely as fuck.
Yeah. They should have got Hugh Jackman to host it.
It would have made more sense in the fact that they like would acknowledge Real Steel.
He should just come on as like a robot expert Hugh Jackman or something. Robot boxing expert Hugh Jackman.
Or bring in the prop robot from Real Steel so they box the hell out of that.
Yeah. They do have sparring bots that they use for practice and stuff.
Oh, God.
They're like crash dummy robots. But it's kind of fun. I would say if you're curious about it, check it out.
Yeah, maybe.
It kind of fills the void of like BattleBots or Robot Wars or any of those that used to be on. The only weird thing is like the teams didn't build the robot. Like none of these people that built the robots, it's like this one guy built all the robots and just like they get assigned robots to the teams. It's like you guys have the guy driving your robot is a helicopter pilot, so you guys get the army robot.
Yeah, like it seemed like their qualifications to fight are like this weird reasoning.
Oh, one last thing. So one of the weirdest things is like, so one of the contestants is Amanda Lucas, who is George Lucas's daughter, and apparently she is just like this like
MMA fighter,
super like heavyweight women's like MMA fighter.
I do love how any of your physical attributes do nothing in puppeteering a fucking robot.
Well, they try to, he's an athlete, so he should be able to more adequately, like, adapt to the robot suit better or something. Or, like, the robot arms. The guy, like, the first team was, like, this father-daughter, like, programming team. And then it was, like, the other team was like this like rope like engineer and like an Olympic athlete, and they got their asses kicked. So who knows?
So probably no, like having no physical like
yeah,
skill
whoever,
like that.
Whoever can figure out how to fucking like drive the robots the best is gonna win. And then last thing I watched this past week was I watched Everything or Nothing, which is the James Bond documentary that came out last year, sort of as like the 50th anniversary celebrations. And it's a pretty awesome documentary. Definitely, it goes into pretty much everything you'd want to learn about James Bond, like how it got created and how it got turned into like the biggest movie franchise ever.
Sweet.
They go into a lot of like Ian Fleming's life, like how he was like a crazy like World War II intelligence officer, and then he basically was working for this newspaper and he hated it, so he moved to Jamaica to like he built like this house in Jamaica called Goldeneye. And basically started writing the James Bond books, and then crazy like one of the crazy things that they thought was like it took forever to like fucking get like the rights to like or like sell the rights to make a movie out of James Bond. Like they actually one of the crazy things they showed was like they showed like this it was from like the 40s or the 50s like this 50s version of like Casino Royale that was like some forgotten company bought the rights to it, but then they had like it wasn't James Bond, it was Jimmy Bond, he was American, and it's just like this like insanity of like the lost okay. James Bond movie that no one knows about. And then finally like he had like Saltzman and Broccoli, who were like the guys who came in and like finally got the rights, and then basically like have been like leading the making James Bond movies for all the rest of the years. And they talked about pretty much every Bond except Sean Connery. They like archive interviews with Sean Connery, but they don't actually have him on camera live talking about it.
I would have loved like a found footage where it's like they try to get to Sean Connery's house, but like he's at the door with like a gun.
Yeah. And then there's like this whole crazy thing of like apparently Sean Connery just like eventually like this whole thing like he thought they weren't paying him enough, so that's why he left after You Only Live Twice, and then or Thunderball or You Only Live Twice, whichever one. And then like that's why they got George Lazenby to come in for on Her Majesty's Secret Service. And then the crazy thing about George Lazenby is that so he apparently like he just like showed up, like he bought a suit and basically got his hair the same as Sean Connery, shaved the same as Sean Connery, just like showed up at their office and was like, "Hey, you're looking for next James Bond." And like, and so he just made up a bunch of like acting credentials because he'd never acted before ever. So he's like, "Yeah, I worked in Russia and other countries doing some acting."
I love how like back then you can kind of get away with that. Now
so they hired
like,
him,
I
and then
Googled
like
you, you're not real.
Yeah, so they hired him and they did all like. Apparently they did like months and months of screen tests and like they were like apparently at one point he was like a male model, so they worried he's kind of they worried he was like gay or something, so they sent like a girl up to his room and like he's like next day they realized I wasn't gay. And then but apparently he just went like crazy, like just like completely just going in, like doing drugs and drinking and then like basically just like fell into like this crazy hippie movement, and then that's basically why he was never he didn't do another James Bond movie because they fired him because he was just like crazy hippie. And then there's like the whole insanity around like Thunderball, where like apparently Ian Fleming sold the rights to like two separate companies, and then so that's why we had like Never Say Never Again, because like this guy Kevin McClory was like fighting like Saltzman and Broccoli the entire like for like decades to try to get like Thunderball made, like his own version. And actually, they gave him, like, a sole producer credit on the original Thunderball. But then, apparently, sort of the deal they made is, like, 10 years after they made Thunderball, he could make his own Thunderball. So that's why, like, in, like, the, it was, like, the 80s, or, like, late 70s, early 80s, when, like, Never Say Never Again came out. And then that movie went, like, head-to-head with Octopussy, and then Octopussy won the box office. Actually, I mean, both films did pretty good. Like, I think Never Say Never Again made like $130 million, and like Octopussy made like $160 million or something.
You know, it's weird. Again, we're never gonna live in a day and age where like there are ever two competing Bond movies at the same time.
Yeah. Because basically, like, I think it was only like a year, like a couple years ago, when like they finally just like settled rights. Like, yes, MGM and the Broccoli family owns the entire rights to every Bond movie. So. And another crazy, like, Pierce Brosnan almost got, like, freaking, like, Tom Selleck from, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark, because he was all set to star in, like, Living Daylights, or whichever, which one was the first, License to Kill or Living Daylights, which was the first, like, Timothy Dalton movie?
License to Kill.
Yeah, so he's all set, like, it was basically, Remington Steele got canceled, and basically they said, you have to wait 60 days for us to sort of like figure out if we're going to get picked up by our network. So you can't take any other jobs for 60 days. So it was like day 60, and like he was basically on his way to the press conference to like say, because they were gonna like, and our new Bond is Pierce Brosnan. And then he got a call and like they said like, oh, NBC picked up Remington Steele, so we're back on for Remington Steele. So like Pierce Brosnan was like, oh, I thought I was like, that was it, I'm never gonna play Bond again. But then he came back for Goldeneye, so. And then Timothy Dalton, like, the whole thing of, like, Timothy Dalton was, like, everyone thinks, like, there's just, like, after, like, the Roger Moore movies where they got, like, stupider and stupider, and, like, way more comedy, like, everyone was just not ready for, like, super, super dark James Bond movies. Which why, like, the Timothy Dalton movies failed pretty badly. Because Timothy Dalton was like, we need to go back to the book and like super serious, super violent, super dangerous James Bond. And you can't, people weren't really ready for that after like you saw like James Bond dressed as a clown and fighting on the moon and stuff.
Yeah, he's like the family friendly spy that shows up, seduces like that one pretty woman, and then does his business.
Yeah.
But GoldenEye was all like, I'm here to blow shit up and fuck like anyone.
Yeah, people a lot of people later, Pierce Brosnan was like sort of back to like sort of like Sean Connery of like, he's not supposed to be like a funny character. He's supposed to be like, he's the world's like deadliest assassin, basically. Like, because he has a fucking license to kill, so he should be killing people, not like making like witty one-liners about it.
Mm.
Which is like, and then that's why Daniel Craig now is like totally that of like, just basically just straight up murdering people. And they sort of ended with like the whole like, just the internet just like exploding over like Daniel Craig, like, you can't have a fucking blonde James Bond. He's the worst James Bond ever. But then it turns out
they actually interviewed Daniel Craig, or was like reading off like hate mail.
They should have.
Oh my god.
I know they didn't, but they should have. They should have been like asked Daniel Craig about the internet hate. I don't think Daniel Craig does like an interview. Like they don't do the actual like interview with him, because like everyone else is like they're like in a studio just like talking about it, and then like they have like a different interview with Daniel Craig, but not like him in the studio talking about it. Oh, also, weirdest person to ask about James Bond, Bill Clinton.
Like, his opinions?
Bill Clinton, apparently, like, all he watched in the White House was James Bond movies. And then, I think it was Reagan, maybe? Or someone, Where was the president when Dr. No came out? I can't remember who it was, though, but,
Nixon?
Maybe. Was it Kennedy, I don't think.
No, that's too...
Yeah. Anyway, whatever president was president during Dr. No, I think it was, like, Kennedy or something, because they were talking about the books, because, like, how the books got, like, huge was, like, they had, like, this, like, list of, like, the president's, like, reading list, and, like, one of them was, like, From Russia with Love or something. So that's how, like, the book just exploded. But yeah, it's definitely a super, super awesome documentary. If you're even, like, a casual James Bond fan, it's definitely worth checking out. It's on Netflix right now. And that's pretty much all I've been watching. So I think, unless there's anything else, we can wrap this thing up for the week, Chris.
I think we're good, yeah.
Yep. So, if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com for all of our reviews and features and trailers and videos and a bunch of stuff up there right now. Kick-Ass Awards are still up there. Definitely check those out after you've seen the Oscar winners. Definitely check out our awards. It's what we thought was the best of last year. We have a bunch of interviews coming up, hopefully, soon on the site. We have, Chris, you got to talk to some of the cast members from Vikings, the upcoming History Channel show.
Yes, I did.
So that'll be up.
I'll be up soon.
Yeah, Joe talked to two Kickstarter documentaries that are coming up soon. John Schnepp for What Happened to Superman Lives. And then Brett Culp of, I can't remember, Legend of the Batman or Legend of the Dark Knight.
Legend of the Dark Knight.
Yeah. So two upcoming Kickstarter superhero documentaries. We talked to directors of those. Just a bunch of other awesome stuff coming out. Oh, March Movie Preview is up on the site if you want to find out what's coming up in March for movies. Hopefully a couple good things like G.I. Joe and, Oz, I guess. And you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action. We're on twitter.com/evaction. We're on Tumblr, everythingaction.tumblr.com. You can find us on iTunes by going to the iTunes Menu Store, searching for Everything Action. You can subscribe on there, leave some comments, leave some reviews, rate us on there. You can also get our app on there for your iPhone or iPod Touch, which is free. You can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. And you can also find us on Stitcher, Stitcher.com. Search for Everything Action on there. You can stream us on there, download podcasts on there. They have an app for pretty much any device you can possibly think of, so definitely check that out. And I think that's it. So for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.